Hey, what's going on? It's DJ Hoppa, and I want to welcome you to A Tribe Called Dad. This is our latest episode. I'm so excited to bring you this one in particular. I mean, we have a ton of amazing episodes, but this one, I mean, I was in tears in this particular episode, just being honest with you guys. We had the pleasure of sitting down with Arnie Ayala, who is an educator. He is a family man. He heads up something in his local community called the Family Leadership Institute and helps bring parents resources to be able to express themselves, deal with their own trauma in order to show up the best possible version of themselves for their own kids. And this is incredible work that Arnie is doing. I'm not going to say too much other than I'm just excited that you're here, and I'm excited that you're going to get a chance to listen to Mr. Arnie Ayala. Let's get it going. It's A Tribe, yeah. A Tribe Called Dad.
A Tribe Called Dad.
All right, welcome into A Tribe Called Dad. We're so excited to have Arnie Ayala with us. Arnie is an educator. He is currently a principal at an elementary school out sort of in my neck of the woods. And Arnie and I got a chance to meet. I saw this guy give a talk at this parent leadership summit that blew my mind. I mean, Seth, I think I was telling you about this and just, I'm sure you picked up on some of the vibes of like what Arnie's throwing out there, man. But like, I was so impressed with how tapped in Arnie was to just some of the things that are going on. And obviously he's a parent himself. He's a dad himself. And some of the tools that he is really trying to put in the hands of other parents was just incredibly impressive. And I felt like it was necessary to bring him onto the show to talk a bit about his process and about some of those tools. So Arnie, man, we're so excited to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm sure it's going to be a great conversation. Before I logged on, you know, I have to prepare myself mentally and emotionally because when I have an opportunity to speak my truth, it takes me to some places where I've been that were not the greatest. Mm. And, some of those places were, when I was a child. So I'm sure this will come out in the conversation, but, I'm excited to have the conversation and be part of, the great work, that we as fathers and leaders in our community, need to engage in. Because the need is there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of engaging.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So maybe that's a good place to start, Arnie, was like how you've been able to, you had mentioned to us that like one of the reasons why you're able to serve parents in this way is because you yourself went through a process. Like you went through this developmental process for yourself. And maybe if you don't mind sharing sort of how that all came to be.
Sure, absolutely, gentlemen. So I attended the Family Leadership Institute about eight years ago. And I'll tell you, I was part of a cohort of administrators that were asked to attend the Family Leadership Institute. And it was being held in Vegas. So I didn't choose to go to this. And I thought, well, if it's in Vegas, how bad can that be, right? So I was off, in the van with some of my colleagues, which included also some of the parents that were part of my school community at the time. And it was a four-day experience. And let me rephrase that. It was a four-day transformational experience. Mm. I remember driving home from Vegas, which is about a four-hour drive. And I was processing a lot of the things that I heard and a lot of the feelings and emotions that I experienced at this institute and that I was still experiencing in this long drive. And to kind of make sense of this, I felt all the way home, I felt that I was just given a gift. And I kept asking myself, Arnie, what are you going to do with this gift? Because you have to do something with it, and you can't be selfish and keep this gift. How are you going to share it with others? And this transformational experience completely changed my perspective and the way that I serve, continue to serve the families in my district. And this experience, one of the big things of this experience was and is that it gives participants an opportunity to heal. You know, this was 7 years ago. And at the time, you know, prior to this institute, there was a lot of baggage that I had been carrying for 40 plus years. There was a lot of resentment that I carried within myself for 40 plus years. And this experience gave me an opportunity, brought me to a place, to a safe place, where I took advantage of the opportunity to begin some of that healing and letting go some of that baggage. So when I returned to the community that I served at the time, I invited my colleagues, my administrative colleagues that attended the institute. And I basically told them, I brought them together. There was about 25 of us. And I said, you know, I'm going to do this with or without you because it has transformed me personally. And I was great to hear the three of my colleagues were interested in rolling this out to the community that we served at the time. I was the principal of a comprehensive high school, and the other principals were of a middle school and an elementary school. And all of those, we shared the same families. So that was an amazing experience. When it was all said and done, we were able to graduate 122 parents in that community.
Wow.
And to kind of flush this out a little bit more, so you may be thinking, okay, what was so transforming, right? How did you transform yourself? And I want to share one of the activities that we did at the institute. The presenter asked a gentleman. He's a big guy, over six feet, and brought him forward in front of the audience. She asked him to stand on the chair. And she also, I knew what was going on because I noticed that he was wearing a belt. So she asked me to volunteer, and I came, and she asked me to get on my knees and to stand on my knees in front of this gentleman who was standing in front of me on top of a chair. So, you know, I had 6 feet to another, 3-4 feet. He was a pretty big guy. And I still remember his name to this day. His name was Andres. And she asked him to go back in time and reenact the way his father may have disciplined him. And he immediately went to that place. And then she asked him to take his belt off. And he did. And she asked him, okay, I want you to think back about, think about what he said to you and what he did right before he disciplined you. So then she turned over to me, and then she asked me, Arnie, go back to your childhood. And gentlemen, you know, I would have thought at the time, did she know my history? I mean, because she picked the right two gentlemen in the audience, and this was an audience of 40, 50 participants. And it's funny how things happen for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And I was chosen. He was chosen to reenact this. And so he did his thing, and I was immediately taken to that very dark place where the man that I highly respected, my hero, my father, was about to discipline me for making a poor choice. And it took me to my childhood. And it brought all those feelings and emotions and that fear that I had. And after the skit, for lack of a better word, it was very, I felt like not only was it traumatizing to relive that, but also I felt a little lighter because I was able to free some of those feelings that I had carried for so many years. And that was healing for me and for Andres and for the participants, because I could see I had some gentlemen come forward and, you know, they placed their hands on my shoulder and they were there present with me, because that also took them to their childhood experiences. And so that's just one example. And if I can go take you further a little bit more, about 5 years after that, my dad was losing his battle with cancer. And 2 weeks before his passing, I cleared the room and I had a conversation with him. And I guess you can say it was the last real conversation I had with him. At this point, he wasn't talking very much, but he was there because I could feel the strength in his arm when I held his arm. And the first thing I did was I asked him to forgive me. To forgive me if I ever fell short of being the son that he expected me to be. But then I also forgave him for the resentment, for the hurt that I had carried for so many years. I forgave him for that. And I got to tell you, I've never had some deep conversations with my father because I didn't have that love relationship with him, because that was not there, but he was the best version of himself. And I believe the way he was as a father was more than likely the way he was raised by my grandfather.
Right.
So I have found that in my culture, there's not this emotional, this affection that we see that fathers don't show. They may show it to their girls, but not their sons, because we're expected to not to cry, to be strong, to not show weakness. You know, signs of weakness are, it's just not good. We have to be strong men and strong boys. That experience, I truly believe, gentlemen, if I would have never had that experience to heal in the Institute, I may have not had the courage to have this last conversation with my father. And oftentimes I think to myself, what if I would never have asked him to forgive me? And what else, what if I never forgave him? I'd be a hot mess right now, because here I'm expected to be a leader of a school, expected to be a father, and I'm carrying this guilt on my shoulders. And that was so liberating for me, but I've never would have gotten to that place where I felt the courage, and it was okay for me to forgive him, because I realized and I realize now that it was a gift that I was giving myself. It was a gift that I was giving myself. And And that is just one examples of how this experience allowed me to transform myself, and with that to begin that healing and forgiving and that forgiveness.
Oh my gosh, you got me over here in tears, man. I mean, it's so powerful. Your story, your testimony is so powerful. And I think, you know, I felt it when you were presenting, you know, a couple weeks back at this leadership summit. And I think your vulnerability and your ability to share this is a part of that gift. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about how you've been able to take that and to be able to pay it forward and pass this along to other parents that are within your community.
Very good. A couple of weeks ago, the Institute is a 10-week, there's a 10-week session, there's sessions of 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And, I graduated, my team and I, graduated 22 parents of my school. And, they've also had similar experiences. And I can share some of the testimonials because I was given permission to share this with audiences and others because they also were transformed. I'm thinking one of the fathers that graduated, it completely transformed his relationship with his own son. And I asked the group, you know, is there anybody that would like to share a testimonial and how the FLI has transformed them? And the father, you know, didn't hesitate, raised his hand, and he said something that I'm paraphrasing here. He said, you know, the way it's changed me and transformed me is that I speak to my son in a very different way. Prior to this, I was one that raised my voice a lot to him and to my wife. Mm. And gentlemen, his wife was sitting right next to him. Mm. And for him as the father, you know, be vulnerable and be able to share, you know what, this is the way it's transformed me. That's been amazing for that family because, you know, that's a generational impact. His son is a fifth grader. Yeah. One day he may choose to be a father. And as you know, we our boys, they see us, they mm-hmm. listen to us, they watch us, and they learn from us. And I gotta tell you, it's a beautiful thing because after that experience, he comes and picks up his fifth grader from school every day, and when you see him, he goes to that area where he's waiting for him, and he embraces him, and I watch him, and he walks a good block because I'm watching him all the way down until he turns the corner. I can't see him anymore, and to see him embrace his son and engage with him. Mm-hmm. And prior to seeing him, giving him a hug. And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And you know, I know because, you know, being in education for 27 years, there are some fifth graders, you know, the parent tries to put their arm around them and they're like, wait a minute.
Do that duck move.
Wait a minute. So, That's one example. And then the other one real quick is another father. I want to make sure that I say this. There's other testimonials from mothers.
Uh-huh.
Yep. But you know, we're talking about dads and I think it's great that we're doing this work and having this conversation because as we know, a lot of our families are coming from a single parent home, and nine out of 10 times it's a mother. So the other gentleman, you know, he has a fifth grade daughter, and I'll tell you, it's also a beautiful thing because he picks her up. He drops her off and picks her up. And it's great to see him engage with his fifth grade daughter right in front of the front gates of the school, in front of other parents, in front of kids, in front of myself and other staff members. And, you know, making sure that, like this morning, her jacket was zipped up and giving her his morning blessing and giving her a kiss. And reminded her, you know, do your best. Make me proud. And he shared with me recently that out of the corner of his eye a few weeks back, he saw a mother that was looking at him and the way he was engaging with his daughter. And the mother became a little emotional, a little teary-eyed, he could tell. And he was still trying to, you know, he was doing his thing, but, you know, he was still trying to kind of keep his, see what was going on. And he came to the conclusion that, that mother didn't do what he was doing. And maybe was thinking about, I need to do that. Why am I not doing that? That was amazing, as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Setting examples, you know, and I think like that's, I echo what you're saying. I think the work that you're doing is transformative. I think it is shifting generations, you know, I mean, it's breaking these sort of, curses, really, these generational curses of not passing down sort of the ways in which we should, you know, behave as fathers or as parents or, you know, and really attacking the trauma at the core of it. Like, I applaud you for all of that, man. I mean, it's so impressive. Seth, I did you have any other questions for Arnie? I know you're probably, I can see your brain. I can see your brain reeling. Yeah.
Yeah. So Arnie, I think the thing that's just, the impression that I'm getting is that there's this, like, there's this octane or fuel that's in you that's just contagious. And to me, I'm super curious about the Arnie before FLI and the Arnie before the transformational experience that you had there, because I make up there's a real distinct black and white Arnie before and Arnie after, and that you've been given almost this, like, these new eyes to see. And it's fueling like a relentless passion to speak into the lives of parents because of that. And so, I see this inspiration, and it's contagious. And I just want to really acknowledge that in you.
Yes. Thank you. That's a great, question, Seth. And, you know, before we attempt to do this type of work, you know, we provide SEL, social emotional learning, for students, for staff. But I've learned that oftentimes we forget about the parents. This Leadership Institute is about SEL for parents.
Right.
And because we can provide this for the kids, but when they go home to their home environment, if they haven't had this experience or opportunities, things may not change. But let me go back to answering your question. You know, my experience has taught me, and this experience as well, and this work, is we need to start with ourselves. Because, you know, much like, you know, when you hop on an airplane, what do they tell you? If the oxygen goes low, you got to take care of yourself before you go to the child. And oftentimes, you know, I remember, and that was, that always made me feel uneasy, because, you know, as parents, right, who do we go to? Hey, I'm going to save my kid, right?
Right, right. But
that makes complete sense, because we need to start with ourselves. We need to make sure that we have the oxygen before we can be better versions of ourselves to be able to take care of our own children. So this work needs to start with us. You know, there's other conversations nowadays about equity and access. And oftentimes these movements or programs come in a nice binder, right? With some books. And it just based on my experience and my belief, it's much like the FLI. You know what? If we're going to give fidelity to this, if we believe that this is important work, we need to start with ourselves. And be the best versions of ourselves in order to give it fidelity and make it impactful. Because we all know that, you know, some people are good at talking, and but it's very surface level. And I'll be honest with you, gentlemen, we wouldn't be here if you, well, first of all, if we would have met 8 years ago prior to this experience, you'd be talking to a very different guy.
Right.
Because I tend to be reserved. I had walls up to protect myself. And this experience, it chipped at these walls, and I'm perfectly fine because I speak my truth and I am who I am. So my advice would be we need to start with ourselves, and that can happen in different ways. But we gotta go deep. And be not afraid to go deep. So let me give you an example. When I at my former district, when I started this work with those 122 parents, I decided it was all purposeful. Let me explain that. I told my teammates, I'm going to go first. And there's a reason why I wanted to go first, because I was going to set the tone. So when they presented, because if I went surface level, they were going to go surface level.
100%.
If I went deep, then they were going to give deep. And at least I have contributed to creating a safe place and environment where they can go to those places as well. And they did. They did. And the other thing also, I chose, and this was just me, I told my colleagues, I'm going to do my lessons in Spanish, which is my primary language. And I did my lessons in Spanish, not in English. You got a version of that, Hapa, in English. But really, the person that was speaking to you, and the reason why I chose to do my sessions in Spanish, is because it wasn't Arnie Ayala at the front of that audience. It was Arnulfo Ayala. And there's a story behind that. It's that child that I just described to you that stood in front of his father, his role model, his hero, his provider. That's the person that needed the healing. And when I did my presentations, I made it clear to my audience, you know what? You'll get to know Arnie Ayala. You'll get to know the principal. You know, you'll get to know him. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to get to know Arnulfo Ayala. And if I can flesh that out a little bit more, as a principal, it was important for me to deliver the lesson, because I wanted the parents to know and understand. I'm just a father just like you. I'm trying to be the best version of myself just like you. I am not the perfect father. So underneath the shirt and tie, it's a guy who's trying to do his best as a father. And let me tell you, there's no way I'm not even close to getting an A, because you have seen different sides of me. And I appreciate, this is me telling them, I appreciate you checking up on me. Because yeah, there were times where I wasn't I fell short as a father in the way that I talked to my son the night before, and then I come to work and he's still sleeping, of course, and then I have those feelings like, oh, I failed. Now I got to come to his school. with over 3,000 students and be that leader. And I am carrying those feelings like I failed my son. And it's those days that I'm rushing to get home to make amends with my son and ask him to forgive me. And to be transparent that I fell short. I'm sorry. But I will work at it and I will try to do better. We as fathers and as parents, it's okay to come to that level. Right. They need to see the human in us. And it's okay to say, I'm sorry. It's okay to cry. It's okay to embrace them, to show them the love and affection that Arnulfo did not have.
So good, man. We need a part two of this. We need a part two of this for sure. But man, I appreciate you so much, Arnie. I think, you know, I speak for all the people that are listening to this podcast. We salute you. We appreciate you coming to the table with just such authenticity and vulnerability, man. And I think this is, there's somebody out here who's listening to this podcast who's in tears like I am, listening to your story and, you know, is really getting closer to that healing that you're talking about, that you got a chance to experience, and that you're being able to set the table for a lot of people here, not just the people in your community, but, you know, the people who are listening to this podcast. And, it's incredible, man. I want to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We've got a top three with Arnie, as well. So he's wrapped this up a little bit. He's got three things that he wants to share as a great takeaway for anybody who's listening to this. We appreciate you. Don't go anywhere. Top three with Arnie in just a moment.
A Tribe Called Dad. This is the top three.
It's the top three.
It's the top three.
This is the top three.
Welcome back in to A Tribe Called Dad. We are very excited to have Arnie Ayala here. If you missed the first half of this, you missed a whole bunch. You got to go back and re-listen to this too. I mean, even if you heard, you probably have had to go back and just, there was so much emotion in that and so much there to share. So really appreciate you opening up, Arnie. And, you know, as a gift for all of our listeners that are tuned in here, we also have this top three that you've put together in this bite-sized chunk here. So top three ways to transform your family, according to Arnie Ayala. You ready to do this?
Sounds good. I'm ready.
Let's go. Number one.
Number one would have to be communicate with love. Communicate with love and not fear. As fathers, as parents, our kids should not fear us. Because that's when, at least from in my story, that's where I began to build those walls. And because that, I didn't have that social emotional connection with my father. It was one thing that I lacked, and to this day. But as a father myself, I've learned from it, and it's one thing that I do demonstrate to my daughter and my boy. He's a freshman in high school, and he knows that this is how dad expresses his love for him, and it's not in the way of fear. I would never want my son to fear me in any way. And earlier I spoke about the way my father disciplined me and my brothers, and that's not the most productive way. And that's where, you know, wounds open up. That's where resentment builds up. That's where hurt builds up. And we just got to break that generational unproductive practice.
Yeah. So good. Number two.
Forgive. And I shared this earlier. You know, putting our ego aside, putting our pride aside, and it's okay to ask our children to forgive us. We are not perfect. We strive to be the best parent that we can be. And it's okay to have these conversations with them, because gentlemen, we are not going to be around forever. Mm. And if our children outlive us, which is, you know, the way it's meant to be, they're going to be possibly in relationships. They're going to be in situations that they're going to have to make a decision based on what they learned, based on what was told to them, based on what was modeled for them. And forgiveness gives us that ability to be humbled, that showing that humility, showing our humanness, because as humans, we are imperfect. At least that's what I believe.
Yeah.
And it's okay to ask for forgiveness, but most importantly, also be able to forgive. Mm. And when you forgive, you give yourself one of the best gifts that this life has to offer.
Freedom.
Yes.
And man, that just hit me, just this idea of being able to do a do-over, right? Like that, hey, I'm not a static person. Like there's always something possibly new for me. And forgiveness is such a great tool to reinvent, re-forgive, like redo, right? And so that's beautiful, man.
I feel like we might need to have Arnie back on for a forgiveness episode. That might be a good one, just around that time. We could have him back for all these things. All right, Arnie, number three.
Number three.
Values. You know, as parents, we need to decide what values are we going to instill in our children. Mm. And we all have had different experiences. As fathers, as people, and I believe that it's important to start thinking about, if we haven't done so, thinking about what values, if I were to leave tomorrow, what would be the 2-3 values that I would say these are the big three, these are the non-negotiable ones, these are the ones that my kid, my child, my son, my daughter is going to need to move forward. You know, my dad was a simple man and a man of few words. He always gave us things in twos. It was very interesting, because if he gave me advice, there was no more than two, pieces of advice, no more than that. And I always expected, okay, here's one. Okay. And there's going to be one more.
Oh, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yeah.
And that's it. So, and you know what, two things that that he instilled in myself and my brothers. And you know, and it's funny, we have one sister and she's the youngest. It wasn't the same for her. But that's a whole different session.
That's a whole other episode.
A whole other episode. You know, how we treat our sons and our daughters as fathers, they're different.
Yeah.
But two things that come to mind is number one, and these were huge for him. These were like non-negotiables, and I'm surprised they're not tattooed on my body somewhere, because you don't want to forget these. You know, number one, don't ever forget where you come from. Mm. He was saying so much with that phrase. You know, I was born in Mexico. He brought us to this country so we can have an opportunity of an education, of a better quality of life, because he, as a leader, he wanted to break that cycle of poverty. My great-grandparents were poor. My grandparents were poor. We were poor. Mm. And he said, you know what? Not for my boys. Mm. And there's other reasons why he brought us here. And he took a big risk. He took a big risk because he was bringing his four boys and his wife to a new country, new culture.
Wow.
And boy, I got stories about that. But number again, don't ever forget where you come from. He was telling us, you know what? We didn't have a lot of things where we come from. And but we did have a lot of great things. Mm. We work hard. We respect our elders. We have manners. You know, in Spanish, there's this phrase, mal educado, which translates to mal educated. In Spanish, it has a completely different meaning than in English, because mal educado doesn't mean that you don't know science or algebra or you don't know how to read. No, it's that you do not know how to behave.
Mm.
And where I come from, the parents are our kids' first teachers. And not only is your misbehavior a reflection of you, but it's a reflection of me as your father and of the family name.
Mm.
So he was saying a lot more than just the face value of that phrase. Remember, don't ever forget where you come from. Mm. He was telling us, be humble, be grateful, be respectful, more than just that. So he was taking us back. And then the second one was, don't ever forget your first language. Mm. That was also a big one. And again, I spoke to this earlier, and I always look forward to giving my presentations in my primary language, because it gives me an opportunity to practice, because it's like, just like your golf game, you let that go, you know exactly what the shot is, right? You know exactly where you need to hit the ball. Or, you know, I like to play pool. I've never golfed, so let me use that example. So I know what the shot is. I know exactly. As a matter of fact, I have trophies from the boys club when I was growing up. And shout out to the boys and girls club out there, because it kept me out of gangs and kept me out on the straight and narrow.
Right.
In addition to the fear that I have for my father. But anyways, I know what the shot is. And I know where I want the cue ball to be so I can look ahead at my next shot. Why did it take me to this?
Because you got to practice it.
If you don't practice, you lose it, but you know what the shot needs to be. And in pool, as soon as you shoot, you know exactly if you're spot on or it's just the way it feels, right? So again, it gives me an opportunity to practice and to give him the honor.
Mm-hmm.
To give him the honor that, you know what, Dad, I didn't forget.
Mm.
So that is also very important. That was something that really, a value that my dad really emphasized with us. So, And I say to Hapa, and Seth, I do it to give my father the honor and for everything and so many things. Cause I've gotten to a place where I forgave and I asked for him to forgive me. I'm free. And I know I think it was you, Hapa, that used the word freedom.
Yeah,
I'm free of that.
Yeah.
So all my love and my respect and my honor to my father, and I'm hoping I'm making him proud.
Yeah, man. Oh, so good. Oh, I need a breather after this one, man. You got us going, man. And I really appreciate you being here, Arnie. I think like what you shared, I said it earlier, but I'll say it again because I think it's worth repeating. Like you, I think are going to help a lot of people with your story. I see it happening already. I know the impact you're having in, you know, the local community, in the parents that you serve and in the community that you serve. But I think even beyond that, for anybody that's listening into this who wasn't impacted by your story, I would need to do a pulse check on them for sure, man. I mean, I think everybody who's listened to this has definitely had some feelings come up in the process of this conversation. We can't thank you enough for being here, Arnie. I look forward to the next one. Thanks, Seth, for always just being here, man. And we look forward to the next one. Thank you out there for listening in. We want to encourage you to share this podcast. Share it with somebody who you feel like would really appreciate this conversation. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Dads are better than moms. Dads better than moms.
Dads are better than mommy. Sorry.